You're listening to Love Advice with Leanne. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, Leanne. Longtime listener, first-time caller. Why, in your professional opinion, do you never take my calls off the air?
Is this Carl?
Yep, it's Carl. I mean, we had a few dates. Everything was great, I thought.
Well, you know, when you switch to GEICO, you could save a lot of money on car insurance.
Okay, awesome.
You should call them.
I will.
GEICO, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
If you love Star Wars and love the excitement of chasing your favorite Star Wars collectibles, the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting app from Topps is for you. Collect and trade with friends new and old through the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting app from Topps. These are the cards you're looking for.
This is Master Obi-Wan Kenobi. I regret to report that both our Jedi Order and the Republic have fallen. Our future is uncertain. But in time, a new hope will emerge.
Coffee with Kenobi presents Rebels Reactions with Dan Z and Corey Club.
All troopers, focus your fire on... on the Jedi.
Come with us. Learn what it truly means to be a Jedi.
I'm in space! And I'm about to die!
We need an opening.
Found one!
What did he say?
He said hello, hyperspace.
Oh, and guess what? This is the podcast you're looking for.
Well, everybody, welcome back to Rebels Reactions. I'm your host, Aaron Harris, and we have a fun episode tonight to discuss as we discuss the latest Maul episode, Visions and Voices. If you think you're going crazy, you're not gone. You haven't gone as far as Ezra has yet. So we're going to have a lot of great discussion tonight. And, of course, joining me is my very good friend and regular here on the show lately, Mr. David Motters. How are you, sir?
Good. How you doing?
Doing great. Thank you so much for joining me tonight for this discussion. It's been a great episode and definitely something I'm looking forward to see because we got a lot of Clone Wars throwback in this, don't we?
Oh, a ton.
Oh, well, let's not hold back on that. Let's go through and start breaking this down. Of course, Visions and Voices. Of course, Maul returns as Ezra starts seeing visions of Maul throughout Chopper Base, and to the point that he almost kills a fellow Rebel soldier. And of course, this is concerning to everybody. So Kanan leads Ezra out to Bendu, where he discovers that, you know, because of the whole holocron incident earlier in the season, of course, Ezra and now Maul, almost forgot his name for a second. What's up with that? Ezra and Maul are now connected, have this connection that they need to break. And during the discussion, Maul shows up there at Chopper Base with Bendu, which was quite interesting for him to actually be on that planet. Now he knows the location of the hidden base, so which definitely plays into the storyline there. And they discover that to break the curse, or the connection, that Ezra needs to go with Maul to complete their vision quest. And they return to a planet we haven't seen since the Clone Wars. We return to Dathomir, Darth Maul's home of the Night Sisters and Mother Townsend. Just a very haunting planet, if I don't say so myself. And get a lot of action there on Dathomir as the ghosts of the Night Sisters come out in this ritual that they're doing, and Kanan and Sabine follow them to Dathomir and wind up being possessed by Night Sister ghosts, and which leads to a huge showdown between Ezra and the ghost, which ultimately lead to the biggest reveal of the night, which is, of course, they now know, and Maul knows, that Obi-Wan Kenobi is alive. He's alive.
That was incredible. That was, you know, they hinted at that at the beginning of the season, right, when they did join the Holocrons. But now, for sure, they both know it, right? Ezra and Maul know it. I thought it was quite interesting, Aaron, though, that when Ezra was telling Sabine that it's a planet with twin suns, Sabine's answer was, well, that doesn't narrow it down at all. And I think for us Star Wars fans, you're thinking, holy mackerel, of course we all know where it is. It's Tatooine. Come on, guys. But in-universe, right, Sabine is like, well, yeah, this place is huge. And apparently there's plenty of planets with dual suns, twin suns. So that's really was neat when she said that. So gives us a little bit of tension, or a lot of it, and we'll see how they can track it down, who can track it down first.
Exactly, and it was a great insight into the Star Wars galaxy itself with that statement that she made that about the twin suns and it not narrowing it down, and it just gets you a glimpse of how vast this universe that we're dealing with is, and this galaxy. It's just a lot of planets that they're dealing with. I mean, you got a galactic empire, you got a republic. There's definitely a lot out there and a lot of planets, a lot of space. It's just never ending here in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, it's not just what, like we talk about world building, but this is literally universe building. And so I agree with you. When she made that statement, that just got me so excited, because the bigger this place is, the more stories, the more excitement, the more adventures. And so it really, you know, as the episode ends, it really does set the stage for a lot of excitement here coming up in the second half of season three.
Exactly. And definitely it's going to be a lot of fun seeing where it goes. And of course, by now we've seen the, by the time of us recording this, the mid-season trailer has recently come out. So we know eventually this is, leads eventually to the return of Obi-Wan Kenobi, closer to the age that we see there in, A New Hope, too, not the young buck we know from the Clone Wars, but the older, wiser Alec Guinness Obi-Wan Kenobi, which is great. Definitely he's part of the saga that I fell in love with. I mean, that's my favorite movie, so it'll be fun to see him back in character again. But let's go jump right into voices and visions. And because there's just a lot to cover in this episode. It jumps right off the bat. It jumps into the connection that Maul still has with Ezra. You know, we always knew he was obsessed with making Ezra his Padawan. Constantly, every time he shows up, he's referring to Ezra as his Padawan and just taking, is assuming that he's in that position at this point. And he does, honestly, every encounter he has exerted some kind of control over Ezra, which Ezra has had to overcome with the help of Kanan. And just at this point now, with them being connected through the Force because of their holocron experience, adds a new dimension to that. David?
Oh, yeah. I'm so glad you brought this up. I mean, as I mentioned to you just a few minutes ago before we started recording, I just watched the episode fresh again, and just watching how Kanan talks to him and his concern for Ezra. And like you said, it was so neat. I didn't, you know, again, you and I have talked many times, Aaron, about going back and watching these episodes again. And as I was watching it tonight, you know, again, just catching that quick glimpse of the Sith holocron and the Jedi holocron, both broken, but sitting next to each other inside of the Ghost. And and just like you said, it really seems like Filoni and Henry Gilroy and Pablo Hidalgo and all these guys on the story group are just expanding not only the universe, like we just said, but our understanding of the Force and what it can do. And this is obviously something that we've never seen in the movies, right? You know, anything like this with these holocrons. So it's so beyond cool. And I, and like you said, I do love to see the interplay between Maul and Ezra. And Ezra is holding his own and really, towards the end of the episode, really stands his ground with him. And obviously we'll get to that. But yeah, the Force and the mythology is something I wrote down. It's just absolutely growing in these episodes.
Oh, definitely. It's definitely a growth for him from both. I mean, we're seeing a very complex relationship evolving as this has gone on. Because even Kanan's having to feel out how to handle Maul. He doesn't trust him at all. And he's having to control and feel out how to keep Ezra from being essentially destroyed by Maul at that point. Because, you know, the path to the dark side is a short one. As we've seen, and as we witnessed Anakin's fall, and then it's definitely something we don't want to see Ezra continue down.
Yeah, and that was the start of the season, right? You know, steps into shadow and just, you know, this whole development of Ezra and, you know, hoping that he does not get too close to it. As you were talking as well, I was just, in my mind, I was just visualizing Yoda talking to Luke and in Empire Strikes Back and just really cautioning him about, you know, when you encounter the dark side. And, of course, Yoda knew he was going to, you know, encounter Vader on Bespin, and just the warnings. And so it's kind of neat to see that Yoda, Luke, be mirrored in, you know, Kanan and Ezra in this episode and in these episodes, plural, over this season so far.
Oh yeah. It is definitely a lot of, depth and a lot of complex issues that they've been putting in this season. They're filling it up really well throughout the season and keeping it entertaining and keeping it keeping us hooked is what they're doing.
Oh yes,
and which is fun. Now Maul, of course, is probably one of the more complex outside of Thrawn. He's one of the more complex villains we have in Rebels right now. He's got his ultimate agenda, and he's really bent on that agenda, which nobody really knows but we get more detail by the end of this episode. And he's bent on this search, which is why he's so desperate to have Ezra's help to get that information that he wants. I don't think he's really interested in being the master Padawan relationship. He's interested in exploiting that relationship to get what he needs.
Oh, thoughts? That's it. You nailed it. No interest in whatsoever in Ezra being his apprentice. He just wants to exploit it. Perfect words. And in Rebels Recon, Pablo says that, what does he say here? Maul has not forgotten his downfall began with Obi-Wan. And in Rebels Recon, they showed that little clip of a young Ewan McGregor cutting Ray Park in half in episode one. And basically Pablo finished it up saying that Maul's goal here is wanting to exact revenge, and that all of that revenge is embodied in the treasure trove of trinkets inside of his little lair there.
Exactly, and that's something we'll go ahead and address now, because when he returns with Ezra to Dathomir, we get to see a glimpse of what Maul's been doing and where he's been hanging out. Because obviously he's needed somewhere to hang his hat since last time we saw him on Mandalore in the Clone Wars, and apparently this is where he gets. What do you do when you're in trouble and things are going bad? You run home. And he did. He apparently ran home to Dathomir, and he's been living there. And he's got living in a chamber with his ghost night sister ghosts. Okay, if I was living with a bunch of ghosts of my sister, I probably would have moved. but yeah, it's just me. And I don't have to worry, she's not listening to this, so we're good. Just in case, I love you, Kim, wherever you are. But it's definitely an interesting habitat he has built there, because there is so much memorabilia from his past built into what he has there, into his room. We see relics of the past that he has from when he ruled Mandalore. There were some battle droid helmets lying around, or battle droid heads, excuse me, former Mandalorian helmets from his followers when he ruled Mandalore. But what struck me the most and really hit home was he had a very impressionist painting of Duchess Satine up there on the wall. And right in front of it, he had, is just sitting, the Darksaber, which he used to kill Satine right there before Obi-Wan's eyes. Now, if you are not familiar with the Clone Wars, shame on you. First off,
exactly.
So let's go ahead and give you some background on this. If you are not familiar with the Clone Wars, first off, shame on you. Second of all, go watch it. If you like Rebels, you're going to love Clone Wars too. There's a lot of talented people that worked on that show. There are some phenomenal stories that came out of the Clone Wars, and a lot of characters that we're now seeing crossing over into Rebels. Of course, Maul's in there. Ahsoka, Anakin, of course, Darth Vader, but pre the fall. So Anakin Skywalker, Yoda, Obi-Wan Kenobi. I mean, there's a lot of great characters. The pirate, our pirate friend, Weequay.
Hondo.
Yep. Hondo Ohnaka. Yeah. You want to see Hondo in his prime? The Hondo we got in Rebels has nothing on the Hondo we had in Clone Wars. See him at his prime. Watch him. You'll fall in love in a heartbeat. I guarantee it. But the reason we bring up that painting is in the Clone Wars, there are several arcs that occur, take place on Mandalore, or concerning Mandalore. And Duchess Satine is the ruler of Mandalore at that time. And her and Obi-Wan have a past. And you get the impression, and you see it, and I believe, I mean, there's a lot of people with a lot of different theories about what their relationship was. And they try to play it off all professional, and she's the Duchess, I was a Jedi, but you can tell there was, it was almost like it was that one unspoken love that you always loved and never could have. And that's what the relationship was from my point of view. And I don't know if that's how you took it, David. It was a very complex relationship. You could see the caring that each of these two people had for each other in the way they communicated, the way they looked at each other, but none of them would ever say anything.
Oh, I agree with you. Yeah. And just, like you said, if anybody listening to this podcast hasn't watched those episodes, with Mandalore and Duchess Satine and Bo-Katan and all those, oh my gosh, Pre Vizsla, you gotta see them. There's some of the best arcs, just like you said, emotional, gut wrenching, so well done, some of the best storytelling ever. And to see it pulled over here into Rebels is incredible. Like you said, it's just eerie to see that painting of Satine in his lair. And I took a little note here that it said that Kiner, of course, I know you love Kevin Kiner, and I do as well.
Love him.
Yes, amazing. And just listening to it very closely, again, that's what's fun about watching these episodes multiple times. I had written that down after the first time I'd watched it, but listening to it tonight, you could hear, what is it, a little small piano-only refrain from Satine's theme from back in the Clone Wars. Yep. And I just listened very closely, very beautifully done, and just so incredible. But yes, their relationship was just as you described. Really, there was more there than they could say. And then that was Filoni and crew exploring the issue of attachments, mm-hmm. just like you and I were talking a few minutes ago in Rebels. Here's Filoni and crew trying to expand our understanding of the Force, and just like you had mentioned a few minutes ago, how Ezra and Maul are connected. So, they, you know, Filoni and these guys, they have absolutely used these seasons to expand the Star Wars universe, not only in Clone Wars, but here in Rebels.
Oh, yeah, and they definitely have. And it's been they do a great job of doing that. And they did it in the Clone Wars, and they do it now in Rebels. Fans now, I mean, people that have started watching Star Wars with Clone Wars or even with just Rebels who are new, from somebody who's been watching Star Wars the majority of his life, you don't realize how good we have it right now. We are getting some of the best Star Wars you can get right now. We're getting more Star Wars than a lot of us can even handle. Because it's coming at us from all angles. I remember after the original three, just making this stuff up in my head just to keep it alive. Then the books started coming out, and they trickled out. They weren't, you know, coming out quickly. I mean, these books would trickle out and expand the story and grow the legend. But it was nothing like we have right now.
Oh my gosh. I was just thinking, we had the 3 years in between. I remember being 8 years old in 1977. I saw Star Wars 10 times in the movie theater. And I distinctly remember, you know, just not having, like you said, these animated series. I remember, you know, again, waiting until 1980 for Empire Strikes Back. I remember some magazines had, you know, Star Wars 2 on it. And I remember that first Halloween after A New Hope came out, I remember putting a sheet. My mom wrapped me in a sheet to look like Luke on Tatooine. And I remember literally having a flashlight, and that was the lightsaber. You know, nice. So like you said, now you can go to the store and you can buy 5 million different types of lightsabers. But literally, I remember having that at my side, and my sister and I walking through the neighborhood. But I was Luke Skywalker in October of 77.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was not alive then.
That's a dark saber to the heart right there, Aaron.
I was watching it from the you know, they talk about when you die you go to the other side. I was on the other side watching before I came to this side, so I probably did watch it in 77. I just don't remember it. So back to Rebels now. But
okay, back to Rebels.
Talking about the Satine connection and what makes that picture so important. Back during one of the last arcs of season five, Maul enacts a plan and he winds up. And if you have not watched Clone Wars, go back and watch it. These are spoilers if you have not watched it. It's been out long enough though. If you haven't watched it, sorry, you can either turn it off and go watch it or then come back and listen, or just take the spoiler. Maul winds up enacting a plan and taking over Mandalore. He gets a hold of the Darksaber, which was in the hands of Pre Vizsla, who was a Mandalorian who ran a terrorist organization called Death Watch. Maul wound up taking that over along with a lot of the underground mining guilds, spice guilds, Dark Sun. I mean, he took everybody over. I mean, Maul and his brother, Savage Opress. Yes, Maul has a brother named Savage Opress, which you don't know if you haven't watched Clone Wars. They really take it to the extreme and are really at this point causing more of a nuisance for not just the Jedi and the war effort on both sides, but it's really a thorn in Palpatine's side at this point, because he has to come out of hiding and deal with it. But in this episode, after he takes over Mandalore, Obi-Wan Kenobi is dispatched to, well, he's not dispatched, but he goes to rescue Sabine. Not Sabine, Satine. Sabine's not alive yet, but he goes to rescue Satine. And they both wind up being captured. And when Maul realizes the connection that Satine and Obi-Wan has, he kills her right in front of Obi-Wan. And there's nothing Obi-Wan can do. And, I mean, it is probably outside of Ahsoka leaving the Jedi Order, that is the most gut-wrenching scene I've ever watched in that series, or in any animated series. It just, because you see, if you've watched it from the beginning, and you've seen the multiple arcs with them interacting and what's going on, it's, you know, the relationship's there. It's Obi-Wan's unspoken love, essentially, that he just sat there. He was, of course, being held, but he sits there and has no choice but to watch her die. And it's very, very gut-wrenching. So when we fast forward to here and we see Ezra walking around and looking at everything, and he's looking at that painting of Satine, and that soft little musical number begins to play, it's very impactful, and takes you right back to that moment where Obi-Wan is just holding Satine after she's been run through. And it's just, oh,
I know. That's why I was saying to you, just gut-wrenching. And of course, you and I watching Clone Wars from the start, you know, you get it to the fifth season, they just, these, you know, the story group and Filoni and so on are such good storytellers that you're just so invested in these characters. And so the emotional weight is just huge in that episode. It's like, oh my gosh. But yeah, and so to see it come back around and here to see that painting was pretty eerie.
Oh, it was very eerie. And what makes it even more eerie, I noticed during when I first watched the episode, there was a scene. There's a scene where Maul's talking and he's standing in front of a wall, and there's a bunch of, it looks like there's blood smeared all over it, but you can definitely see a word written in the wall. And you can't make it out. You just see the letters. It's obviously something written there. And it's not until I actually checked out the episode guide on StarWars.com did they reveal what actually he wrote on that wall. Written in red, it's ancient Sith is what it is. And it's ancient Sith, and it is actually the word Kenobi.
Exactly.
So Maul has obviously not let go of the revenge and the violence he has against Kenobi. He's got something. I mean, from the conversations he has with Kenobi in Clone Wars, and even I'm sure that we will be seeing eventually, because we know we'll see Kenobi. Maul even says, "You cost me everything." He technically was set up to be Darth Vader. He was going to be the Emperor's right hand. He was the Emperor's apprentice. He was Sidious's right hand. He did everything, and it was Kenobi that cut him in half and let him drop down a garbage chute on Naboo.
Yeah,
and that's where his life changed. And he, of course, definitely he blames Kenobi for that, because he lost it all. And there's going to be that innate, I mean, vengeance is a part of the Sith. I mean, it's a part of that hatred, and they draw power from that hatred. So he definitely, that generated a lot of hate that kept him alive. And you see it as he tries to kill Obi-Wan in the Clone Wars. And of course, now obviously we're realizing he's on a mission for Kenobi now. Even when he was when they first joined the holocrons, they give us the impression, they don't confirm that it's Obi-Wan, but they give you the impression that it is, because as Maul's making his escape after the holocrons are joined, he sits there in the shuttle as he's flying away and goes, he's alive. He's alive. he's just in utter shock. And he is almost, you see this madness come back into him again, where before I think his goal was to extract revenge on being tossed aside by the Emperor. Now it's back to Kenobi now.
Yeah, this is storytelling at its best, isn't it? I mean, I think about, when you talk about, what do they say when bad guys have the long con, this storytelling, and you know, I just wonder, Aaron, sometimes, like, you know, Filoni, when you hear him speak, he feels so fortunate to be able to have continued Ahsoka's story, as you and I've talked about in season two. And he kind of gave the impression he didn't really know for sure that he'd be able to do all that after Clone Wars. But, you know, the way that they took care of things in Clone Wars and the way that they've continued this storytelling in Rebels is just, you know, it seems like they're prepared for the long haul. And because of that, we've just got these great seasons and these great episodes with characters we care about. And going back to what you said, I love what you said about where Maul started, right there at the side of Sidious. We see it at the very beginning of episode one. And then how drastic the fall is for him. And so you set up this incredible arc for him. And just like you said, I thought about you breaking the internet with the poster. I also think as soon as they showed that mid-season trailer, I saw everybody was posting that photo or like a still shot of Obi-Wan in the pose that we kind of first see in episode two, right? When he's battling Grievous.
Yep.
So yes, I mean, people are just excited, and here we are, you know, them telling this story that's going to follow through all the way through the end of season three here.
Oh yeah. And it's going to be very interesting to see, as everything gets tied in there, what's going on now. It's the best storytelling you can get, simply and unequivocally. It's the best that's out there. There's not a show on TV right now that I would say has a better team behind it than whether live action or animated than Rebels does right now.
They're the best storytellers. You and I know it. They've got them. They all, you know, starting with Filoni, you know, learning at the feet of the master. These guys can storytell like nobody's business. It's incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely is. And one thing that, I mean, we got so much to cover in this episode. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we need to jump back into that because we keep, I mean, it's so hard to talk about this episode without discussing the Clone Wars, because there's so much Clone Wars in this episode where it's definitely, the words are escaping me right now. Congratulations, folks. You've gotten your wish. there's so much, you can tell the passion for Star Wars in their storytelling, because it's reaching back to not just the movies, but it's in the current story, but it's going into the other ventures. It's going back into the EU. It's going back into, or which is now the Legends Line. It's going back into Clone Wars, and it's pulling everything together, and it's making such a rich, intertwined universe, which is mind-boggling.
Oh, definitely. I think, like you were saying, it might sound like you and I are gushing, but it's well deserved here. I mean, this is no no small feat what they're doing. I've been reading the novels, you know, that have come out, and you know, reading Star Wars Insider, and just looking at how they're tying all this stuff together is such a joy as a Star Wars fan. And I hope that the person's, you know, anybody listening to this understands that you and I, we're not going to gush if it's not good. And I mean, this is more than good. This is just great storytelling. It's exciting stuff. And I really enjoyed how you really gave a lot more background on the whole Mandalorian arc with Maul and stuff, and absolutely tied that into Clone Wars. But this is the best storytelling right now. And as you said, we're absolutely spoiled with what we got here. And it's a good spoiled.
Oh, and it truly is. It doesn't get better than this. But we are going to take just a quick moment and toss it to Dan and Corey, because, you know, they want to tell us about the Topps trading card app, Star Wars trading card app, which you can get a lot of stuff from Rebels, and you can get a lot of stuff from Clone Wars, as well as the movies as well. Rogue One's out now, so you get a lot of cool Rogue One stuff. So, Dan, Corey, tell us what you got.
If you are a huge Star Wars fan, and let's face it, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably are. And if you love collecting Star Wars, the Star Wars Card Trader app from Topps is for you.
The best part, the Star Wars Card Trader app features incredible images from the original trilogy, the prequels, the Clone Wars, Rebels, and The Force Awakens. Every era you love is included on the app.
It's easy and a lot of fun, too. Beloved characters, key scenes, and unforgettable moments are in every pack. Open the app every day and get free credits to spend on card packs from the Cantina, trade with your friends, and make new ones along the way as you continue to add to your Star Wars collection. And it's all free.
The variety makes it fun, too. So chase what you love. Some of the latest packs include poster series, classic comic book series, helmet variety packs, and so much more. There are even exclusive cards you can get by completing sets, as well as special inserts and even autograph opportunities. Don't worry about missing the cards you love either, as you sign up for notifications right on the app.
The Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting app from Topps can be downloaded for free from iTunes or Google Play. Be sure to download the app and start your collection today.
The Star Wars Digital Card Trader app from Topps is available now. And remember, these are the cards you're looking for.
Thank you so much, Dan and Corey. Definitely, if you have not checked out the Star Wars Topps trading app there, check it out. A lot of fun. Some phenomenal artwork, some great collections in there. And it covers all aspects of the fandom. So definitely check it out. A lot of great things. You can trade with other people. You can collect. You never have to spend a penny because you get the free credits. And of course, if you want some of the older stuff, because I've been playing it since it first came out, and they're on like their third or fourth wave of cards now. That hit me up. We'll trade out. I got a lot of duplicates that I am more than willing to get rid of. Just look me up. The username on that game is a combination of nicknames I had as a kid. It is Big Dog Stewie, just like it sounds. So definitely look me up on that game. Let's trade. Let's have some fun. All right, but let's jump back into visions and voices.
Yes.
You can reverse those very easy in any type of discussion. But jump back into Star Wars Rebels, visions and voices, a quintessential Maul episode of Rebels. We are on Dathomir, is where the discussion where we left off. We were talking about Dathomir and the significance of Dathomir, of course, being and the significance of everything in Maul's quarters there on Dathomir. But Dathomir, of course, is Maul's home. It's home not only to Maul, but to a group of Force-using witches known as the Night Sisters. In the episode, the green mist you see and the ghosts coming out, those are the ghosts of the Night Sisters. They were a very powerful, I believe Count Dooku in Clone Wars referred to them as a sect. At some point, or even a cult. It's very, very powerful group of force wielding witches, essentially.
Yeah, and even Maul says, what does he say? They use some aspect, quote unquote, of the Force.
Correct. Correct. And it's very impactful to see. And they're very knowledgeable of the workings of the Force, too, which you learn through the Clone Wars. And you even learn in this as he had to learn the spell or the ritual that he's going to be doing to complete the vision and separate Ezra and sever the connection between Ezra and Maul. He's got to go through and do this ritual, which he had to learn from the ghosts of the Night Sisters.
Oh, well, and of course you and I were talking that he's the quintessential con man, and obviously he fools them into revealing how to do this. And he obviously promised them flesh and blood, and he ends up not delivering.
Oh no, not at all. He doesn't. He has no intention of paying. He's interested in one thing, and that's reaching his goal. That's always been Maul's goal, is to reach his end game, and he has his plan set, and he's going to exploit anyone and anything he can to get there, even if that means the ghosts of his people, essentially.
Exactly.
And because they do, they apparently did make a deal with Maul where they demanded flesh and blood to be trained, for to train him in this ritual. And he promised it to him, and he doesn't want to deliver on it. He has no intention of delivering on it. Of course, he kind of wiggles out of that because Kersh Kanan and Sabine show up, and there's their flesh and blood sacrifice. At that point, his payment's made at that point. And the ghosts inhabit the bodies of Sabine and Kanan. And of course, it turns into a fight for life at that point. As they go back and forth and they are fighting, just trying to survive. And then Ezra has to try to save Sabine and Kanan at that point.
Right. And one of the things I was going to mention to you there is, and I thought about this back when we did the coverage of the season two finale, Twilight of the Apprentice. Remember, they were in that on Malachor by that Sith temple, and the visuals were so incredible. The red lightsabers, Ahsoka's lightsabers, Kanan and Ezra's, just beautiful. And it made me think about that episode, that double episode, when I was watching this again tonight and looking at Kanan's lightsaber, the blue one, Ezra's. It's just gorgeous. Maul's. It's just, in that darkness, the lightsabers just pop off the screen. Just gorgeous.
Excuse me. Yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. And I'm going to go ahead and say this. I do apologize, everybody, because if you hear my voice cracking, I am getting over a cold and have a very rough voice right now, and I apologize. So, I mean, no, you're dead on. It's the graphics is phenomenal. The artwork is great. The animation really pops with the darkness of Dathomir, with those green and that blue lightsaber constantly flashing around makes it an incredible scene. And it's in and of itself. And one thing I want to address, because I do have the episode running in the background, I know we had talked and you had mentioned that during the vision he sees the twin sons in the green mist.
Yes.
But it's what I just noticed is what Maul says after the vision ends. Once the vision ends, they both kind of collapse onto the table or the altar per se where that the ghosts are residing in. And Maul shakes off the cobwebs for a second and looks up, and he says something that I did not catch before. He says, and I quote, "Of course, it ends where it begins, a planet with two suns."
Yeah.
Maul first encountered, he didn't fight Obi-Wan, but he first encountered Obi-Wan on Tatooine. That's where he fought.
Oh, exactly. Qui-Gon. Exactly.
In Phantom Menace. So he may very well know, as of this moment, where Kenobi is.
Exactly. Quicker than, like, Sabine, right?
Exactly. Quicker than Sabine. Of course, Sabine says that really narrows it down. So the only person who probably in the Rebellion knows who would know it quicker, of course, would be Bail Organa. And we don't know if they're going to talk to Bail about that. We don't know. We may see it. We may not. Don't know.
That's a good point. Yeah.
We will. I mean, that statement in and of itself just complicates the storyline that we have, because it gives you the impression that he now knows exactly where Kenobi is. It ends where it begins. It ends where it began.
Oh, it's, again, beautiful storytelling. I mean, now, not only are they going past Clone Wars, these storytellers, like we just said a minute ago, are going all the way back to Episode One, and I can just visualize Maul on Tatooine and, you know, crossing lightsabers with Qui-Gon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. It's a quite interesting mix. And we were discussing this during a break while Dan and Corey were talking. It's hard to talk about this episode without constantly going back to the Clone Wars. We keep doing this because, you know, the Night Sisters, Maul, Satine, it's all tying into each other. And one interesting tidbit of information, of course, the two Night Sister ghosts that kind of take over Sabine's body and Kanan's body. What's interesting about that are they were voiced by two Clone Wars alums. Two Clone War alums. One of them, of course, was Meredith Salinger. Maris Salinger, if you know anything about the Clone Wars, she was the voice of Barriss Offee, who was a Jedi Padawan during the Clone Wars. So Barriss Offee is one of these ghosts. And what really I found even more unique is Anna Graves voices the other ghost. And of course, if you know anything about the Clone Wars or any of the arcs we've been discussing about Mandalore, Anna Graves is the voice of Duchess Satine, the painting on the wall in Maul's cabin. She did her voice. So it's just that added connection to the story, which just advances it even further and just gives you a little added bonus, per se, if you know what you're looking for.
Oh, exactly. I love that. That touch, you know, just after you and I got done talking about how eerie it is to have Anna Graves, I thought it was really neat that they brought her in to be a part of this episode.
Oh, yes. Very much. Very much. And it's going to be very interesting to enjoy. And it's going to be very interesting to see how things play out, especially with the whole Kenobi thing, whether we'll hear more from Anna Graves or even get more details on Obi-Wan and Satine at that point. Very interesting. Anyway, we're going to progress on because something very interesting happens at the end of the episode is going to have ramifications. Of course, by now we've seen, but when this episode aired, we hadn't seen it at that point, but by now we have seen the mid-season trailer, and we know it's going to come up. But we see Sabine find the Darksaber. Of course, we mentioned that was sitting in front of the picture of Duchess Satine. And after the escape from the witches and the altars destroyed, Sabine, you see her looking at the picture of Satine, and she finds the Darksaber, and she picks it up and looks at it and runs off to catch up with Kanan and Ezra. She keeps it. And their Darksaber's a very interesting, you know, piece of equipment, essentially. I mean, there's a lot of a lot of story behind that. They mentioned some of it in the in the Clone Wars. If you want some history on that, you have to go back and watch some Clone Wars. Apparently, it was something that Mandalorian warrior had taken it from a Jedi he had killed, and it's been passed down as a mark of leadership through the Mandalorians, and Pre Vizsla eventually got it. And of course, we know that from a previous episode, we know that Sabine is House Vizsla.
Yes, yes.
So she does have a connection to Pre Vizsla.
Right, yeah.
So there's got to be some kind of hidden... She recognizes Satine. She recognizes the saber enough that she takes it. And it'll be interesting to see. I mean, we see in the mid-season trailer that she's putting it to use. And we even see her put it to use in this episode. She uses it to fight Ezra at one point. And if she wields it like a professional. But we see in the mid-season trailer she's being trained on it more and everything. So definitely it's a unique take for her, for someone who's used to painting and blowing stuff up, to have that kind of close quarter fight weapon, per se. You take that, you're more looking at a close quarter fight than you are anything else at that point.
Well, and I would add this, because you do such a good job of describing its history within the Clone Wars, and Pablo is asked by Andy Gutierrez in the Rebels Recon, she asks him to give some, give a quick synopsis of what it is about this darksaber. And he says, it's the line that connects Jedi history and Mandalorian history. And Pablo even says that Dave Filoni's given it a lot of thought. And he said that, you know, what Dave has come up with is that for Sabine, it's an item of power and authority. And it allowed, you know, Pre Vizsla to rule Death Watch again. Or, you know, you and I talking about Clone Wars, that's all spelled out there. But Pablo even said it's that symbol of status, and now Sabine has it. And literally it's, you know, what will unite the clans? Well, she now can get them to listen to her, is what Pablo said. And I think back to a few episodes ago with, Fen Rao and the different clans and stuff like that. And you can see that Sabine does, you know, there's hints of it where she doesn't want this, all these divisions in the clan. So when Pablo said that in Rebels Recon, it looks like maybe what we can anticipate is her doing something perhaps to unite some of them. And like you said, in that mid-season trailer, we see her holding it high above her, and I guess another exciting line of story for us to see as this second half plays out here.
Definitely, it's going to be very interesting to see where everything plays out. Sorry, and it's going to be interesting to build on at this point. And I mean, they've been good at keeping us on our toes and keeping us guessing, and. They've definitely never have left us disappointed, have they?
Never. No.
So now there's one more thing we really need to touch on before we start wrapping up our talk on visions and voices, is we need to just take a peek at the beginning of the episode, because we see at the beginning when he first starts... We first get the impression of Ezra's visions and the voices he's hearing. He's, of course, at a briefing at Chopper Base that Hera's leading, and she is discussing some very major plans, which Ezra is going to be a part of and is going to be leading. And apparently it is coming down to essentially an assault on the facilities on Lothal, the construction factories on Lothal, which we've known it's kind of been building up, especially after Inside Man. It's building to that, and she is talking very much strategy as to control timings and type of destroyers and ships in orbit. And we're getting in some pretty detailed war plans at this point. This is beyond a raid. This is a full-fledged assault on Lothal, from what it sounds like, which is quite interesting to see, because, you know, when Rebels first started season one, everything evolved and centered around Lothal. And the further we got into season two and season three, we've drifted from Lothal. Matter of fact, I don't think we've been to Lothal once this season, in which we spent the majority of the time there in season one. So Lothal, of course, is going to play a big part in our story. What did you think of the plans when you heard these plans that she was making, David?
Well, that's, you know, you and I were talking about this. I think when I watched it the first two, three times, I was just so distracted by Ezra's visions of Maul and the voices of him that I didn't pick up on it at all. But when I went back and watched it again, you can hear that, just like you said, this is going to be a major, major attack on this factory. And Hera's laying it out, and it's always, the whole time she's doing it, it's kind of hard to hear it because it's broken up with that overlay of Maul talking and also seeing him. But here again is what you and I are talking about, is I try to piece all this together. You know, we've got what we just talked about with Sabine and the Saber and the Mandalorians and the clans. We've got, you know, the mid-season trailer showing, you know, an older Obi-Wan Kenobi. And then you've got this, Hera and all of them talking, just as you said, on Chopper Base, looking to do this attack. And in my head, I'm like, how are they going to do all this? And are they going to do all this, in the second half of season three? Mm-hmm. I'll be curious to see if they can do all this.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be very interesting to see how they get all this done. And, I mean, definitely, I'm sure it's going to happen at some point. It's just a matter of how advanced. I know going back and rewatching the briefing over and over again, and it was hard to catch everything they were saying, but if you turn on the captions, it gives you a good idea. I mean, they're talking about making the final recon missions to get all the timings down and getting everything they need to make that final assault and finalize the assault plan. So it definitely, it's obviously something that's been planned heavily since Inside Man, that this assault was going to take place. So it'll be interesting to see how it works out and where it falls into the timeline of events here when it comes to Rebels and where the rest of the season is going to leave us.
Absolutely.
All right, perfect. Well, definitely it's been a great discussion tonight on Visions and Voices, and definitely we've had a lot of fun. It's definitely a very fun episode to do. I have one complaint. And David, when I say complaint, I think you're going to know what it is.
Not enough chopper?
That's it, my friend. Not enough chopper. Not enough screen time for my astromech, man.
Well, at least it started on Chopper Base.
It is on Chopper Base, which is a step in the right direction, you know. Who knows? He may have been off, you know, doing his guest spot on Rogue One during the filming of this episode. So, you never know. great time. Voices or Visions and Voices. David, what are your final thoughts, my friend?
Yeah, again, you and I have been hinting at it, and not even hinting at it, but just talking about it this entire time, is that some of the final thoughts are the storytelling is incredible, and I can't wait for the second half of this season because of all the storylines that we just kind of laid out here over the course of this podcast. It's interesting, in Rebels Recon, Pablo says, we'll all have seen Rogue One, at the start of the second half of Rebels season three. And he says, you know, we're going to be able to connect more and more things between Rebels and Rogue One. So I'm excited to see all that. Another little note I put to myself is they keep topping themselves. I feel like maybe I'm a broken record a little bit, but I think it's like you and I elaborated why they keep topping themselves, because they're such good storytellers. They don't, they really have some real forethought on this. And I'm so impressed with the storytelling. And perhaps the final thought is, maybe two more. One is, you know, I love the whole mythology aspect. And they really expand upon it here. And it's so interesting to see Maul and Ezra and the tie within the Force and their connection and so on. And then maybe the last thought is, like, consistent with that Rogue One is we're seeing Saw in the teasers and this, it looks so exciting what's coming ahead. So overall, a great episode and more to come.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And I mean, this was definitely, you know, we've harped on it a lot tonight in the discussion in this episode. Is everything has been going back to Clone Wars. It almost felt like we were talking about The Last Battle again, which was that tremendous Clone Wars throwback, but apparently they're not done with the throwbacks, because this was definitely a phenomenal episode, a great throwback, a gut-wrenching throwback, as we're reminded of what happened to Satine in this episode. It's definitely a very very powerful episode and very strong, leaves you with strong emotions about what is to come. These writers don't let up a bit, which is awesome to say. They don't give you a break, and I love every minute of it. Great storyline. It was fun to see the Night Sisters again. It was fun exploring Kanan and Sabine as ghost possessed, which was quite interesting. But definitely, it was just a lot of fun in this episode. A lot of emotion, up and down. Definitely a great episode. Coming into this episode, of course, we've had a lot of great episodes through season three. When it comes to grading visions and voices, after sitting back, evaluating it all, I'm going to have to go with an A- on this. I did thoroughly enjoy it. I thought it was a great episode. It has a lot of fun aspects to it. And definitely it left us with a longing of what to see, of what is coming, which is always a good thing to have from Star Wars. David, how about you?
Yeah, I was looking at previous grades. You know, I always look at them. I'm trying to be consistent. In our last episode, I gave Inside Man, an A. And I think this is all just as good. Obviously, I love Thrawn. You and I have such a fun time with that. The humor that was in that one, throwing Kallus through the window and all this. So, you know, looking at this and just the story development, like I told you, the visuals, the lightsabers glowing inside of Maul's lair, the darksaber, obviously hearing the plans that Hera's talking about. I put this at an A, and I hold back to put it even higher, because as you and I've learned, you know, when you see these season finales, Fire Across the Galaxy to end season one, Twilight of the Apprentice to end season two, and I'm guessing, oh gosh, I'm not guessing. I know. I'll go out on that. It's not even a limb, is it? Knowing that the season finale is going to be an A+. So, I'm going to give it an A, because I'm guessing it's going to be an A+ for that season finale. So, just excellent. And like you said, a lot of fun, and it keeps pushing the story forward. It
definitely does. And they are good at keeping that ball rolling and keeping everything moving. And it's going to be a lot of fun to see where we go. Let's go ahead and take a look here. And definitely it's been fun. If somebody wants to continue a Star Wars chat with you off, the air, where would that, what would be the best place to do that, David?
Yeah, mine's real simple. I don't have a lot of them. Just one. Ed on Twitter. My first name and last name, David _ and then Modders. And the last name is Modders.
And definitely, if you want to continue the discussion with the show, definitely send us your thoughts and feedback. We want to hear it on Twitter. We're at Rebels Reactions. And of course, you can email us you can email the show rebelsreactions@coffeewithkenobi.com. You can, of course, email message me directly on Twitter at TAHarris121079, or email me aharris@coffeewithkenobi.com. Definitely let us know what you thought of this episode, and of course, any of the past episodes as well. We want to get your thoughts, your opinions. And definitely share it with our other listeners as well. So check that out. Check out coffeewithkenobi.com. A lot of great information, a lot of great stuff there. Of course, the flagship show, Coffee with Kenobi, with Dan and Corey. Of course, you have if you like comic books, Comics with Kenobi. If you like things from a fangirl perspective, Lattes with Leia. If you like books, the old Expanded Universe, which is now the Legends line, we have Legends Library. Check these shows out. They're top-notch, great hosts, some very cool people, very knowledgeable people, too, about Star Wars. So definitely check it out. Check out the website. We got a lot of wonderful blogs by some of the best bloggers in the world right there at coffeewithkenobi.com. So check those out. And I know, just for tidbit information here for you as well, I know we talked a lot about the Clone Wars. If you have not watched the Clone Wars, go back and watch it. If you want additional information on the Clone Wars, of course, we have some of the old Cup of Clone Wars shows on the website. You can check that out. Our one of our founders and host of the main show, Dan Z, he writes a blog about Clone Wars, where he's watching the series in chronological order and doing some reviews on that. So definitely check those out. There's a lot of fun things going on there. A lot of great things there. So check it all out there at coffeewithkenobi.com. David, thank you so much, my friend, for joining me again. It's been a blast. It always is. And I can guarantee you this won't be the last time. So definitely, thank you so much. I definitely appreciate it. Everybody out there listening, thank you so much for listening. You are the best. You are the greatest. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for y'all. So thank you so much for listening. And remember, this is the podcast you're looking for.
Well, kid, you pulled it off.
Was there ever any doubt?
Yes.
Chopper, get us out of here!
If you would like to respond to our question of the show, have a comment, or just want to say hello, send us an email or MP3 at feedback@coffeewithkenobi.com. Or if you have a specific question or comment for either of us individually, email us at danz@coffeewithkenobi.com or coreyc@coffeewithkenobi.com, or visit us at coffeewithkenobi.com and click on the Contact Us section or comment on one of the stories featured on the site. If you enjoy the show, please write a review in iTunes or Stitcher. You can also like the show on Facebook at facebook.com/coffeewithkenobi, as well as keep up to date at our Twitter feed @coffeewithkenobi. You can also find us on Tumblr at coffeewithkenobi.tumblr.com. If you enjoy the jazz music, the album is Eye to Eye by Steve Torak.
This is Spectre One. I need a lift.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars-related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi, unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here. Move along.
If you love Star Wars and love the excitement of chasing your favorite Star Wars collectibles, The Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app from Topps is for you. Download the free app from iTunes or Google Play and collect your favorite images from the classic 1977 Star Wars cards to Clone Wars, Star Wars Rebels, The Force Awakens, and much more. Collect and trade with friends new and old through the Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app from Topps. These are the cards you're looking for.
Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison here to tell you Geico has more than just great savings, much more. Geico's been around for more than 75 years, back when they were using Morse code. Sorry, that's just my sense of humor. What's more, with Geico, you get 24/7 access to licensed agents on the app, online, or over the phone, so you can talk to them at night or in the morning. So forevermore, just know that no other auto insurer has more than Geico. More power to you. Geico, expect great savings and a whole lot more.